Good afternoon. Welcome to the final session of the day. My name is Richard Smith. I'm a solution architect with Microsoft Services. I work with a lot of customers doing client solutions. So I work in the client solution space, particularly around deployment. So I deploy Windows and Office and use all of the tools that sit in that space, including things like VDI and remote desktop services and all that kind of stuff. So my job is a practical job. I work with large enterprise customers delivering this. This is what we call a notes from the field. I'm going to try and bring to you some kind of current recommended practice. Notice I use the word current recommended practice, not best practice, current recommended practice, because current recommended practice can change. Okay? So what is at the moment current recommended practice around Office deployment? So we're going to cover quite a few things today. We're going to talk about the requirements for Office deployment, position them against where you put Office. Is it in the image? Do you deploy it after the image has been deployed? We'll talk about how to determine how to integrate Office into the image during image engineering, how to deliver it after with a deployment platform, or a hybrid. Woo, that's kind of a teaser. I'm going to be covering that a bit more later. And then we'll look at how to integrate Office from a deployment process perspective. I'm going to hopefully give you multiple deployment options for Office and show you five or six demos of how this takes place. So this is Microsoft's managed deployment solution. This is how we recommend to customers that they do the desktop. It's very much based on an image technology that sits at the bottom. We create an image of the OS. We then place that onto hardware and inject things like hardware drivers and software. We layer onto that security configuration, and then we add applications, enterprise applications, role-based applications, and individual applications. And then at the back, at the top, a bunch of user settings. And different life cycles fit into this, and this is how we explain the kind of life cycle of the desktop to customers. From a Microsoft Services perspective. Where does Office fit into this? Well, it fits in at the bottom. We can put Office into the image itself so that everybody gets Office exactly the same. Or we can put it into the deployment side of things so that when the image is deployed to a machine, Office is then installed on top of that image. Do they ring a bell to you guys? Okay? There is a third way, and I'll come to that later. So let's get into it. Office 2010 Setup Controller is your friend. It does a whole range of things. First bought in Office 2007, it is a single executable that does a whole raft of things. If you've looked at the Office source files, you'll now know that Office is made up of a bunch of individual MSIs. The Setup Controller is designed to bring those MSIs together and install them onto the device. We've also made it such that Office 2007-2010 is language neutral, which means you can add the language afterwards as a separate package. And also, we have built-in customization. We have built-in tools for customizing the way that Office is installed. And we're going to touch on that tool this afternoon. If you've looked at the Office source, it looks like this. Okay, you go into the Office source folder. It's a bunch of folders, typically language-orientated, with an auto-run, a README, and a setup file. So this setup file, is the setup controller, setup.exe, responsible for pulling all the strings together, all the pieces together. It's very important because this structure is really useful. It's useful from the point of view that we can add things into this folder. This is not like the old admin folder that we used to have in old versions of Office. You remember when we used to run setup with the /A switch, and it would create a network share for us to deploy Office from? This is just a standard shared folder that we've created on the server, and we copy the Office source into. The setup controller then is responsible for deploying Office from that share. So in this situation, the installation source is a file share. There's no setup.a/a. You can add additional products into here. You can add language packs into here. And setup will deal with installing them as required. And we'll touch on a little bit of that in the demos. Language components are typically named with this two by two acronym. So obviously we've got the EN-US folders in here, but you can have the FR-FR, the IT/IT, ES-ES for Spanish. You can just drop those folders into here and they become part of the source. The really cool thing is any updates that you have for Office, any service pack updates, any hot fixes, anything like that, we provide as MSP files, you can drop them in the updates folder and setup is keyed to look in there during deployment and apply any updates that it finds. So it's really easy to kind of, when you're deploying Office, to keep things up to date. So let's take a look at a demo. I'm very demo-oriented. I don't do a lot of slides. So let's take a look at a demo. This is basic install of Office 2010. On the folder here, I've created a share, my Office 2010 folder, and I've copied my source into it. If you take a look at the properties, it's just a standard shared folder. Nothing special about it, no tricky setup, just shared folder. So in this folder, I've created a number of folders. So I've got a language folder, into which I've gone up to the Volume License website, and I've downloaded the language packs for these various versions of Office 2010. So I've got French, German, Italian. In the source folder, in the French folder, it looks very similar to a standard source, right? It's got a setup controller. It's got a bunch of folders. But that's really the language components of Office. The source itself for Office, look how similar it looks to the language pack, right? It's kind of the same format, same set of folders. We have a folder for each product in which the MSI sit, and we've got this admin folder. The admin folder is used as a source location for the admin tool, the Office customization tool, and I'll show you this in a later demo. This is a useful file. Inside this folder is the Office customization tool help file. It gives you all of the properties that you've got within the OCT for customizing the installation of Office 2010. And as we go down, you can see all of the folder structure. Now, another interesting folder is the ProPlus.ww folder. This folder's named based on the SKU of Office that you have. So this is the Professional Plus version. And we have a config.xml file in here. This is a basic config file for automating the installation of Office. It has a number of lines within it, and we've given it to you as an example. So we have the first line here, which sets the display level, the completion notice, whether that comes up, the suppress modal, so we don't get any error messages, and the accept end-user licensing agreement. And as we go down through this file, there's a number of lines that can be used for configuring Office as a basic install, right? So what company name are we going to install it under? Where do we want to put Office on the client machine? What location? Do we want to use local installation source only mode? And I'll cover that again a little bit later. Where is Office located on the network? If I can't find one location, in this file I could put multiple locations where Office source is available from. Settings around what to do at the end. And also I can string in other commands that setup runs either before setup for Office or after setup for Office. I can add additional MSIs that can be run from these command lines. And you can see there that they're allowed to run at different parts of the installation. The updates folder is here where we place our update source, so our service packs, we place it into that folder. And of course, setup.exe. Now, if I just run setup.exe from here with a /?, it will give me all of the switches that are available that setup can use. So the key ones here are /admin, which runs the Office customization tool, and /config and admin file. Those two switches, admin file and config, tell setup where the customization files are that it can use to customize the installation of Office. If we switch over to a client now, and I just want to show you the basic manual install of Office 2010. So all we're doing is just running setup from the share folder on the network. Setup controller starts. And then what we see is the basic interface. This is manual installation, right? I just want to show you the difference. We have to accept the end user licensing agreement. We can click the big button that says install now. However, there is a customize button. And we have the option here of changing the products that are installed. We have the option here of selecting whether they're installed or not, or whether they run on first use. We have the option of where to install Office. Do these look familiar from the previous file that I just showed you? And we have the option to put in some user information. So this is the maximum level of customization you have when you run setup manually with no config, no setup files, nothing at all. So what we'd really like to do is to be able to automate that. We want to be able to automate the installation of Office completely. So we can do that with a couple of files. To automate Office, there are two main files you can work with. Config.xml, which is in our case, the propolis.ww folder, because that's the version of Office we're working with. It could be slightly differently named based on the SKU of Office that you're using. And then the Office customization tool, which will generate for us an MSP file or a patch file that allows us to customize how Office is installed. What's the difference? Well, the config.xml is primarily used to install Office 2007-2010 to a specific path from a specific location. And we can do things like setup options, logging, the location of the customization file, the admin file, the customization file that's created by the Office customization tool. We can specify installation options such as company name. We can specify whether to just install as a local installation source. So when I say LIS, local installation source, does everybody know what that means? Okay, so from Office 2007 onwards, we create a local installation source on the hard disk of the source of Office. So that if the user then goes ahead and installs something, or Office breaks, it can repair itself from that location. So that's what the local installation source does. And we can also use the config.xml to add and remove languages from the installation. It's very clear. You need to be very clear what config.xml can do and what it can't do. You'll notice on this list, there's nothing that says, for config.xml, there's nothing here that says, change the products that are installed for the Office suite, right? You can't do that with config.xml. You can, however, do that with the Office customization tool, which creates this MSP file. So each of these files has a place, and you can use them together. You can use them in tandem. Config.xml for doing certain things, the MSP file for doing others. The MSP file is very useful for adjusting the installation of Office, not the basics of setup, like what's the company and what's the language, but the real kind of nitty-gritty settings of Office. What applications to install? What settings are there? What menus should be available? All those kind of nitty-gritty settings are in the Office customization tool. It's also in another really good feature of the Office customization tool and the MSP file that it creates is that you can add additional files. You can add other MSIs into the MSP file and then have Office install those MSPs as part of its setup. So often one of the things I do in the field with customers is here I will add things in like Link or the Office Communicator or the Office Online tools. I will add those into the MSP so that they get installed as part of the Office package. And I'll show you that a bit later as well. So this is the config.xml file. So this is your basic configuration file. So we can use it. It's very much based on XML. We typically use Notepad to edit it. And we use it for installation options, uninstallation options, pre-staging the LIS. This is a really important one for a method of deployment that I'm going to show you later, pre-staging the local installation source. We need to specify it in the command line. So we basically run setup.exe /config, and then the location and name of the config file that we want to run. And you'll notice it can't modify any application settings. We can't say, don't install Word, but install Outlook. Don't install PowerPoint. This file doesn't do that. So that's the Office customization tool. All right, so let's show you another demo. Let's show you some basic automation techniques using config.xml. So here we are back on the server. Go back to my share here, Office 2010 share. Here's the source for Professional Plus. Go into the Pro Plus WW folder. Take a look at this config file again, config.xml. Showed it to you earlier. You get this as a template that's provided with the product. So you see at the top, it references the version of Office we're deploying, because that's the version. And it sits between these two configuration elements, configuration at the top, configuration at the bottom. Now, there's a number of these lines that we want to use to automate the process of deploying Office, and I'm highlighting them here on the screen. So what we can do is we can make some space at the top of the file and take the lines that we want to use and then start to copy them in at the top. We then have to take out the D comments. Because they are commented out with these XML D comments, we take those out, and then that line becomes live. So we can change the display level. The display level is usually set to basic or none, so that you you can see what's going on or not. We always set the completion notice to no, because we don't want to see a completion notice we have to click on. We typically always suppress modal, which means we don't want to see any error messages, and we accept the end user licensing agreement. I've also added a couple more lines here to pre-populate the name of the company, to change where Office will be installed on the user's device. This is the program files area in an Office 2010 folder, and the location where Office can be found on the network. All of the other stuff I don't need at this time, but I can leave them in because they're commented out. So I can leave them there, they're not a problem. I'm going to save that back. And now I've got a configured config file. Now, this is really important. Double-click on it so it opens in Internet Explorer. This is a good check to make sure that your XML is correctly formed, because it won't open if it's not. So basically, you're doing a check to make sure that you've got the right things in there structured correctly within the file, because you've used Notepad. So now we're going to run on the client, we're going to run setup, but this time we're going to specify the /config switch, and then we're going to tell setup where the config file is that we want to use. So it's in the Pro Plus WW folder, and it's called config.xml. So we've specified the path and the name of the file we want to use, and that's pretty much it. You see there was no prompt for anything. There was no prompt for install. There was no prompt for anything we want to install. You can see we've got the specific folder name that we've chosen inside the config.xml file, so everything's happy. This is a fully automated installation of an out-of-the-box Office 2010 or 2007 installation. That's the minimum that you need, those three or four lines in the config.xml file. So what I want to do now is I'm going to go back to the server and take the French language pack from my language folder, and I'm just going to copy and paste it directly into the source folder. And that's really all you have to do to apply a language pack to Office. So I've added the French language pack. Now, there's a couple of folders and files that it asks if you want to copy over. So one of them you can. So the admin folder, that's fine. But we don't really need the setup file copying. It's the same file. We don't really need the auto run copying. It's the same file. So what we should end up with a number of folders that match the folders that you've already got in the source, because they're language source file folders. So now I've added the French language pack to the source for Office, I can deploy Office in French, right? So how do I do that? Well, I go back to the config.xml file, and in the config.xml file, I add a few more lines. I use the add language lines. I've got add language equals match, shell transform equals yes. What this does, what Match does, is it tries to match the language of the operating system that's being installed on with the language of Office. So if the OS is in French, Office will be in French. Shell transform just means transform the thing that the user sees when Office is being installed. And then I've got ID tags for French and English, because those are the two languages that I have available in this source. So now if I go back to another client, this client is in French, right? The operating system, Windows 7, has been installed in French. So I'm going to run exactly the same command. I'm going to run the setup from the share, /config, and the name of the config file. So this time when setup runs, it's going to match up the operating system language with the version that's available in the share, and it's going to install that version. So very easily, you can see with half a dozen lines in the config.xml file, you can have a standard Office 2010 installation that's installed in any language that you have available and matches up against whatever language the operating system is in. Does that make sense? Yeah? Cool. So that's basic automation. That's basic off-the-shelf automation of Office 2010 installation. So the config.xml file is really useful for that, but where we get the real power from is with the Office customization tool, the OCT. Now, the OCT is a tool, a graphical user interface tool, that allows you to do a whole raft of customizations to Office and apply that to setup as it's installing the product. So here we can do things like we can use it to configure settings, options, we can use it to take out applications that we don't want. We can even use it to add and remove registry settings. So remember earlier I mentioned that sometimes I add other MSIs to the Office setup. Well, actually, if you wanted to add MSIs that then needed registry values changing, you could use a combination of this and use the OCT to change the registry settings. This is also really useful for determining if you are deploying Office to machines that already have Office installed, what to do with the previous version of Office. Do you want it to be uninstalled before we install the new version? Keep the settings, don't keep the settings. All that can be controlled from here. So you may ask yourself, and I can hear it going around in your mind at the moment, what's the difference then between config.xml and the file that comes out of the Office customization tool, the MSP file? So this highlights the differences. You can see that they're very similar. They can do similar things. The MSP file and the config.xml file can both specify the path to the network installation source. They can both select the product, the language to install. Where the difference is really is it's only the setup customization file, the MSP file, that you can use to change the whole internal settings of Office. What applications, what settings, what menus, what base settings should Office have when it's installed? So let's show you how to use an MSP file created by the Office customization tool and a config.xml file together. So here we are back on the server. Back on the server, I go into the run command here, and I run setup with this /admin switch. When I run first setup with the admin switch, it's going to launch the Office customization tool for me because it's built into the product now. It's not a separate download like previous versions. I get to create a new product. In this case, my source has Office Professional and Office Visio in there as well, so I can create an MSP file for those products as well if I want to. But in this case, I'm going to create an MSP file for Office Professional Plus. And I can also open an existing MSP file if I have one available. So I'm going to create a new one for Office. And all of the stuff down the left-hand side are the things you can change. They're broken into a number of sections. So this is the setup section. First question, Where do you want Office to be installed on the user's device? What's the name of the folder? And what's the name of the organization? Where can Office Source be located on the network? If I need a copy of Office to fix something and the local installation source is corrupt, where can I go and get it from? What licensing would you like to use? Would you like to use key management service, or would you like to enter a product key? You have to accept the licensing agreement, you set the display level, and then you have some options for suppressed modal, no cancel and completion. It all looks pretty familiar so far, right? A lot of these settings we had in the config.xml file that we saw earlier is exactly the same. This is where the OCT now starts to split away. What do we want to do with existing versions of Office that are already installed on the device? For each product, what changes do we want to make? And there's over 1,800 changes you can make in this section. Here I'm going to change the version of file that each product saves as default. So in this case, I'm going to have Excel saving in the older 93 to 97 format. I'm going to go into Word, and I'm going to have it save in PowerPoint. I'm going to have it save in the older PowerPoint 97 to 2003 format, and then I can go into Word and do a similar thing. So what I'm doing here is configuring a customization that will be applied to Office when it's installed to change the default format of the file type that's going to be applied when the user goes to save. And as you dig through these folders, there's hundreds of settings that you can change in your base install of Office 2010. I'm also going to enable an RSS feeder inside Outlook, and I'm going to point it at an internal intranet-based RSS feed that I have available in my organization. So again, I can add this stuff to the installation of Office. I don't have to wait for it to be installed and then apply. Here's that list of applications that are part of the suite. Which ones do I want to install? Which ones don't I want to install? And then this is where I can add in additional files that I want to be copied into the MSP and then have the MSP place those onto the device when it's running. So here we've got the Live Meeting Adding Pack and the Live Meeting Console as an example. I'm going to add them to this file, and then they'll be placed in the install location. It's a variable. That variable means wherever Office is installed on the user's device, that's where these MSIs will be placed. Right? So I'm wrapping in some extra MSIs that will be delivered through the Office installation. I can configure shortcuts, so I can take out shortcuts that I don't want the user to have access to, so I can select the ones. It may be that I'm not installing all of these products, so I'll take out the shortcuts. I can move them around, clean them up, so they're not on the start menu for the user. Let's take out SharePoint Workspace. So that's our shortcuts. And then I've got a bunch of settings that I can use to configure Outlook. So the profile, accounts, and send and receive groups and that kind of thing. I've got a bunch of settings in there for Outlook. Once I've completed this, I then save my file. So I'm going to save it. In this case, I'm going to save it and give it a name. Notice I've used an underscore. I'll tell you why in a second. And I'm going to save it to a location on the server. So now I've got an MSP file. MSP file is usually used for patching, right? It's usually used for patching an application. We have used the technology to create an installation. So if we go and look at that now, if I take a look in my Pro Plus folder, in my updates folder, you'll see there's the file. Look how big it is, though. It's like 25 meg. Why? Because Live Meeting is in there as well. Those MSIs that I added are wrapped into that MSP file. So it's going to put Office onto the machine in this folder, into program files /office 2010, and then it's going to copy these MSIs to that location. Right? And then I can kick off the installation of those with the config.xml file. Right? So the MSP takes care of delivering Office, customizing it, and putting in my extra MSIs. So I don't need this stuff anymore at the top because that's in the MSP file now. But what I do need still is the language. I still need the language settings because you can't do language with the MSP file. So you have to do language with the config.xml file. Then what I've done is I've added an extra couple of path statements here. So I'm going to run MSI exec against that live meeting MSI that I have dropped into that location with the MSP file that I've just generated. Setup will run this command based on the chain that I put at the end. And what I'm showing you here is the command, the name of the file has to be within double quotes. And the reason for that is because there's a space between program and files. You have to make sure it's double quoted, whereas all of the other quotes are single quote. Okay? So you have to deal with the space. And then I've got a chain position, which is after, which means install this after setup has finished, so after Office has been installed. And then I've got a setting that says wait for that program to be installed before you then go to the next command. That's what the minus one is at the end. So we're going to run this command first. We're going to wait for it to finish, and then we're going to run the next command. So that's my cut down config.xml file that works with my MSP file that I've just generated in the Office customization tool. Again, double click on it, make sure it loads in Internet Explorer. That means your XML is correct, and it's not going to fail. So, back on my client device, I'm going to load Notepad because this is a very long command now, right? I want to show you it in Notepad before I type it into the run command. So I'm going to run setup.exe from my shared folder with the / config switch and the location to where my config.xml file is, and then this new / admin file switch and the location to where my admin file is. I always specify it in the command line. If you drop it into the updates folder, it will be found automatically. So technically, I don't have to add that in. But if you want to use multiple MSPs, then you have to use that / admin file switch to specify which one you want to use. So here we see setup running, fully automated, applying updates. Look what's happening now. Live meetings being installed because we added the MSIs. Remember, we added them to this location. We told the MSP file to put the MSIs into that folder. And then within the custom settings, within the config.xml file, we told it to run those commands. You with me? So what we've done is we've used the MSP to customize Office and to drop additional MSIs into a place. And then we've used the config.xml to install those extra programs. So here we should see the customizations that we positioned within the OCT tool. So if we go into Word and we try and save a file, it should automatically be set to 97 to 2003 format because that's the setting we set. The shortcuts were all configured as we set them in the OCT tool, and everything's hunky-dory. You with me so far? Yeah? So we've got these two files then, the config.xml file, the MSP file. We can use them as a pair together. All right. So, question. So the question is, can Office be installed in two languages so that a user can support it remotely? I'm assuming they're coming in via remote control and need to see it in another language. It's a bit tricky. Because when you apply a language to Office, you're effectively you can install multiple languages and switch between them. So you can install French and German and then switch between them. Typically, what a lot of customers do is they link that to the user's profile. So when the user logs in, it switches the language at that point to the language that the user wants, but you can have additional languages. But it typically means that you have to log out and log back in again for the language to take effect. But you can install multiple languages and then switch between them. So the comment was, if you close all Office applications and then reopen them, the language change should take effect. What I've seen is anything that's prior to SP1, that can be a bit tricky. From SP1 onwards, you get that behavior. So most people, I'm thinking now, if they're deploying Office, they're going to be deploying Office SP1. So you shouldn't see that problem. So you wouldn't have to log out. You can just close the program and open it up again, and it should be in a different language, which is probably what you're asking from a support perspective. So the question is, if you're running different language versions of Office, how do you do the updates? The updates are language specific, so you drop all of the updates from the languages that you have into the updates folder, and the correct ones will be applied for the base language that Office is in. Yeah. Quick one more. Yes. So that's a really good question. The question is installation order in the updates folder. For things like service packs and updates, doesn't care. For things, for the MSP files that you create with the Office customization tool, if you put them in the updates folder, they're going to be installed in alphabetical order, which is why I use the underscore at the top to make sure that it's first. It's not a problem unless you have... Let's say you create an Office customization file for finance, for sales, for IT, for different organizational groups within your organization, and you want to apply them based on grouping. If you put them all into the updates folder, and let's say we called them sales, IT, and HR, the first one that's going to be applied, if you don't specify it on the switch, is the HR. One, right? Because it's first alphabetically. So you have to be a little bit careful on naming your files, your MSP files that are created with the Office customization tool, and make sure they're in alphabetical order. If you want to create multiple ones that apply in a certain order. But then that gives you another problem in maintenance. I don't like doing that at all. You would create two different shares. Yeah, two different shares. Yes, because setup, if it finds the service pack in the updates folder, you have no choice, it will apply it. Yeah, there's no switch to say don't apply updates. Okay. One question yet? The current recommendation is that you should, wherever possible, use group policy because it's more adaptable, it's centrally managed. But however, there are some customers, particularly I find in government sector, where they need a set of settings applied at source. They may adapt them later with group policy, but they need a base set of settings set at source, and that's where the MSP file is really useful because you can have those settings applied during setup and then adapt them later with group policy for different sets of users. But I would say you will find this, of the 1,800 to 2,000 settings that are in the Office customization tool, almost the exact same settings are in group policy for Office 2010. So there is a big overlap between the tool for deploying the settings at setup and group policy that will apply them sometime down the road, right? When the product's been installed and the user's logged in and the machine may have been booted a couple of times, then group policy will apply those settings. So it's kind of the situation dictates where you would use the settings in the file against group policy. But I'm a big advocate of using group policy as a central management platform. Okay. So who does image engineering? Who creates an image and then deploys that image to their environment? Nobody? One or two people? Okay. So image engineering is the idea of gathering your requirements, looking at how you're going to deploy the image, bringing in some apps, bringing in some branding, bringing in your security standards, maybe looking at group policy as we've just discussed, and then you end up with a approved image. That image is made up of a number of things, but as we saw in the diagram at the beginning of the session, the image is the base layer, right? It's the base of the wedding cake. On top of that, you add other things at deployment time. Now, we often see customers asking me, where should I deploy Office? Should I deploy Office in the image? Shall I put it in the image, fully installed? What's the problem with that? Everybody gets the same, right? Everybody gets the same install of Office at the point that that image was created. What about if I deploy my image and then I install Office afterwards as a package from, say, Configuration Manager? Who does that? Who deploys Office from Config Manager? Not by choice. Excellent comment. And you see the folly, not the folly, but you see the problem with that. If you're doing a mass deployment project, which typically I'm involved with, and you're deploying some 500 machines a night, you don't want to copy 1.2 gig package to 500 machines, right? Because it takes a long time. Setup takes a while. You're talking anything between 12 to 22 to 25 to 28 minutes to install Office in that kind of format. So if you're doing a mass deployment project, having the package on the server causes an issue. If you are in a business as usual scenario where you may be rebuilding one or two or five machines a day, it's not so bad. So these are the typical two ways, right? Put it in the image or deploy it after the image has been deployed. What I like and what a lot of customers I work with like is the third way. You sort of deploy Office and put it in the image, but you don't install it. You run Office setup to install the LIS only, and then you take an image of that machine. So now you've got the source of Office in with the operating system as a WIM, and we can reach into that source at deployment time and install Office from that local source. So we've taken away the requirement to copy a big package across the network. You get this LIS anyway. You have no choice with Office 2010. It's always going to be there, so you might as well make use of it. So one of the things I like to do is, during image engineering, put the LIS into the image. And then during deployment, I have a process where I drop a config.xml and an MSP file into the LIS based on location or group, and then I run setup. So I've got the source locally in the image, I add my customizations to it at deployment time, and then I run setup, and setup takes 6 or 7 minutes. It presumes exactly right. That's a really good comment. It presumes that all of your users are getting the same SKU of Office. You can do some, we'll talk afterwards about that. You can do some stuff around license mixing. You have to be a bit careful where setup runs from, because the setup control, if you got, one of the, I'll cover it very quickly now. You could have the Pro version and the Pro Plus version. You could have the Enterprise version and the non-Enterprise version, effectively. You can mix the source together and take the differences between one and the other and just put those into the source. You can then deploy both versions, but you have to be sure that you use the right setup file, because it's setup that determines the versioning of the Office SKU, and therefore the licensing of the Office SKU, and therefore what Config Manager would report that you've installed. So you can do it. You can create a single source for multiple SKUs, but you have to keep setup separate, and you have to run them separately as well. So for the people who want Enterprise, you have to run the Enterprise setup. For people who want to have the Pro version, you have to run the different version of setup. Yeah, but you can do it. Yeah. All right, so this is my image engineering slide. My image is made up of a number of things: the operating system, base hardware support, some core middleware like, I put Shockwave here, but that's typically a .NET framework, C++ compilers. Firewall client sometimes is in there because customers don't like a machine coming onto the network if it hasn't got an AV client already installed. Local installation source for Office, and the System Center client is added at deployment time. Everything else, this is typically the image. Everything else is applied dynamically. We apply drivers at deployment time, language at deployment time, business-specific policy at deployment time with group policy, and then we layer on different types of application. I call foundation applications the applications that everybody gets. And then applications based on business layer, so HR apps, finance apps, sales apps. And then applications that are user-specific, that a particular user needs to do their job. So that's how I break up the cake. So let's take a look at adding the local installation source of Office to an image. Any Microsoft consultant that you work with from Microsoft Services will recommend using Microsoft Deployment Toolkit for creating the image. Microsoft Deployment Toolkit is a free solution accelerator that enables you to create an automated process for developing your image. Here we have the Windows 7 source, and I've created a couple of task sequences to create my image, one for x86, one for x64. MDT allows you to add applications into the product for installation during the task sequence execution. And you do this by running a new application wizard. You basically say, here's the source, here's the setup, here's the command to set it up, pull it into MDT and make it available to my task sequence. So I've created an Office application here in MDT, and take a look at its properties. When MDT sets up an application, it sucks in the source, creates a GUID for it, and then we can enable or disable it, but also the main thing is the setup command that's used to install it. So at the moment, we're just running setup.exe. One of the things that MDT does when you tell it to bring in Office as an application, it works out that it's Office and gives you an extra tab. It works out that this is an Office product. And on the Office page, it's typically set to let setup decide how to install, so just run setup.exe. But if we go into the Office tab and we say, well, I don't want to let setup decide, I want to install the Pro Plus version, which this source is, then all of these settings become available. And if you look at these tick boxes, they should ring a bell with you. And the reason they should ring a bell is when we start ticking them, these are the lines that are in the config.xml file, right? So what do you think this interface is going to do for you? It's going to create a config.xml file for you automatically. So by ticking all these tick boxes and then clicking the bottom down there, see what it's done? It's taken the default config.xml file from the source and added all the it's a GUI for the config.xml. It's worth using MDT just for this alone, right? So it's added in all of those lines that you've selected. It's changed all of the settings. Now, here's the kicker. Cache only mode. Tick that, apply it. You'll get a nice new line in your config.xml file that says, Liz cache action equals cache only. When setup runs with that in the config.xml file, it is only going to provision the Liz. Right? It's not going to run setup. It's not going to install any apps. It's going to provision the local installation source. We can also, from the other button on this interface, launch the Office customization tool, right? By running the /admin switch. There it is. So both of those, from within MDT, you can create both of the things that you need to deploy Office in an automated manner. It kind of brings them to the forefront for you. Gives you some nice ways of using it. So I've got my config.xml file now. Look what MDT has done. It's changed the setup file for me. Because I ticked the box to say use config.xml, it's added in the extra piece that I need to tell setup where my XML file is, and it's just adapted. It's in the pro+.ww folder. This is in relation to where setup is, right? The path. So my application is now set. It's going to install cache only, so that means I'm only going to get the Liz when I run my task sequence. So let's take a look at my task sequence in MDT. Remember, this task sequence is building an image. It's going to build a machine, make some customizations, install Office as a Liz, and then it's going to sys prep and capture this as a WIM that I can then deploy to my organization. So we've got some customizations here, some various tasks to do things like disable the CD and turn on various date formats. And then we've got the install Office 2010 task. So this is really responsible. This, we can do this quite easily. We've got a little drop-down for adding applications to the task sequence. And when we do that, we can give it a name, and then we can tell it which application we want to install. In this case, we go and select it. And when we can browse to the applications that we've set up in MDT and say, right, I want you to install Office 2010. So the reason we use MDT for image engineering is for this flexibility. We can set all the applications once, but then we can have multiple task sequences for building different kinds of images. So MDT is now set up to build a machine, add Office 2010, and then sysprep and capture it as an image. So this is what it looks like on the reference machine. This is the machine that I'm going to build and capture. We're going to choose the task sequence we want to run. We're going to say, capture an image of this machine, store it in this location with this name. Right? So all of the tasks in the task sequence that are responsible for sysprepping and capture the image are going to be kicked in by this selection. And that's it. I then click I'm ready to go. I've got my details, and I click begin. So my machine is now going to be built. First thing that happens is the machine is formatted, we get a disk partition, and then we lay down the Windows operating system. In this case, we're laying down Windows 7, it'll be Windows 8. I've jumped forward to the point where Windows is now installed, and the task sequence carries on. We're now running through all those tasks for setting the date format and the CD options and all those kinds of things. I think there's a reboot at the end of that, maybe. But now we're installing Microsoft Office. See setup running, completely unattended. We've got the basic interface set, so we can actually see it's there, but you know, it's not, we can't do anything with it. What we're really interested in is what setup is doing. It's creating this folder on the root of the C drive called MSO cache, and in there it's creating all users, and you can see that the local installation source is being populated. As setup runs and it gets further down the green line, we get more folders. Eventually, we get a complete Office source in this hidden folder on the root of the C drive called MSO cache. The task sequence finishes. Now that Office is installed, let's take a really good look at it. MSO cache on the root of the C drive, all users. There's a bunch of cryptic folders then. What we're really interested in is where setup is, right? Setup.exe, where is that? And it's in this 0011 folder, right? That's where we're going to run setup from when this image has been deployed. The machine's been sysprepped, it'll be rebooted, and then it'll be captured automatically as a WIM file. Is that clear so far? So what we haven't installed Office, we've just basically put the source into Office, into the image, into this Windows image, where it's going to lie dormant until we run setup from there. Okay, so this is the local installation source, MSO cache all users. We find the folder with setup in it. That's going to be where we want to run setup from. Remember that? It's a secured directory. But the nice thing about pre-staging this is it's there already. It's ready to go. What's the bad thing about pre-staging this? That's right. The bad thing about pre-staging this is a point in time, right? Its only updates are at that point in time. Now, so if you create an image on a regular basis, I work with a lot of customers that create a new image every 2 or 3 months. I work with a lot of customers who create a new image every year. So that this could be a part of that process. So what we're going to do is two things now. We have this local installation source lying dormant in the image that we're going to deploy. In this case, we're going to deploy it with Configuration Manager 2007. And then in Configuration Manager 2007, I'm going to create two packages. Package number one will copy a custom config.xml and MSP file into the location where setup is in the LIS. The second package is then going to run setup with the / config and admin switches to run setup from this location with those two files. You see what I've done there? I've separated the source away from the configuration files. What I'm doing is dropping the configuration files into the source just in time, just before I run setup. And then I run setup specifying those two files. So what I can do is put the source in the image, but I can control how Office is installed at deployment time. So let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at installing from the LIS. Here we are. I've used Config Manager 2007 for a purpose. I was going to use 2012 Config Manager, but I think in the real world at the moment, a lot of customers are still on Config Manager 2007. So here's my task sequence for deploying the image that I've just created, the image that I've just captured. This is my deployment task sequence. And I'm going to add some extra stuff in here. You can see the image that I captured with MDT. I've ported it across into Config Manager. And I'm going to come back in here in a minute. I'm going to add a couple of steps in here to install Office from that LIS. What I want to show you first is I need to set up some packages. So in my packages node within Config Manager, let me show you the source first that I'm going to set these packages up from. So I've got my package source folder, and I've created in here, in my app source folder, I've got Office 2010 inst and Office 2010 setup. These will be the sources for my two packages that I'm going to create. So let's take a look inside the first one. I'm stalling for time because I can't remember which one we're going to first. So the first one is Office 2010 inst. This is going to be the package for an empty package that I'm going to create in Config Manager that will just run setup. I don't need any source for this. I'm just going to use the package to run setup. This is the package that's going to copy the relevant config.xml and MSP file. So what I've done is I've created a folder, in this case, for each geographic location, EMEA, APAC. And in there, I put my custom MSP and my custom config file for those regions, right, together. They sit together in a folder. And then what I've done is I've created a script, a VB script, for each of these folders. Very simple VB script. The VB script is based on the MDT framework. So we have this file called ZTI utility that we can use to call functions. There's a bunch of great functions in ZTI utility that are really useful for this kind of work. So let me show you the VB script here. So this VB script, it uses ZTI utility. It uses the functions that are within there. So we can make a call to those functions that are in that file as a library. And what this actually does is we set the path, the office path, as a variable. Look familiar? That's where setup is, right? In the LIS. We set the setup folder. Now, this is a really cool thing that ZTI utility provides for you. We can call a function from ZTI utility that works out the directory that you're running the script from, right? So it works out as a variable, the name of the script directory, plus EMEA. So that's our source. And then ZTI utility will also allow us to do logging. It will log it to a log file, what it's doing in this script. So we're going to copy everything that's in the setup folder. And setup folder is a variable. Setup folder is the script directory / EMEA in this case. So everything that's in the EMEA folder, we're going to copy down to that Office cache folder. So that's all this script does. It looks for the files and copies them to the place we tell it to copy to. We've wrapped around some function around logging so we can see what it's doing, but that's really all it does. So those are my two kind of packages that I'm going to set up in Config Manager. So we'll do package one first. So we'll create a new package. In fact, first we'll create a new folder to keep our Office installs separate from everything else. And we'll create a new package. Create a new package called copy Office 2010 setup files. I always like to use the comments because when I leave an engagement, it kind of helps the customer understand what it is I've set up for them. This package contains source files. We pointed at the location that I've just shown you. In this case, the package source directory will go to the Office setup folder. We can choose to update this on a schedule. In this case, we're going to make sure it updates every day. So if we change those setup files, if we change the config or the MSP, we want to make sure that it automatically updates into the package that Config Manager has. We can leave almost everything else as default as we step through this wizard. And this will create a package within Config Manager for those setup files. Remember, a package is nothing without a program. So you have to create a program to go with the package. The program tells the package what to run. In this case, we want to run the script that copies the files down. So in this case, we're going to go in here, set the command line up. The default is look for X's, but these are not X's, they're scripts. So we have to change the value, and then we can pick the copy EMEA config file script. Put C script in front of it so that it runs in the C script environment. Then the only other thing you have to make sure of is you choose whether or not a user is logged on. And that will change the run mode to run as an admin. And also, on the next page, you want to tick the box that says, allow this program to install software without being advertised. That means you can add it to a task sequence and kick off the installation of that package directly from within a task sequence. All the rest are next. So what we end up with now is a program attached to a package. Skip forward, and I've created a program for each of those scripts, one for EMEA, one for Asia, and one for Americas. Right? Remember what that script is going to do. It's just going to copy down those files locally. I now need a package and a program to run setup. So this is really easy. We just create a package. In this case, I'm going to, because of the way that Config Manager 2007 works, we're going to point it at a package which is effectively empty. There's nothing in the package except a marker file. And the reason I put a marker file in is to tell the customer, this is empty, right? I usually put a text file in there that says, this is an empty directory. There's no source in here, right? There's no source in this package, but we need it as a container to run the program. What's the program going to run? What will the program run? Setup. From where? The local installation source. So here we're going to put in a command line that says run setup.exe from C:\ MSO cache, all users, big long GUID, setup.exe, right? So there's our command line. We need to make sure it's in speech marks. Why do we need to make sure it's in speech marks? Because all users has a space in it, right? Anything with a space needs to be in speech marks. The name of the folder where setup is, setup.exe, right? Now, we need to add something to this, right? What do we need to add? We need to add / config and tell it to run EMEA config.xml, and we need to tell it to run the admin file, emea.msp. Where are they going to come from? They're going to be copied in by the package I set up previously, right? So they're going to be placed in that folder with setup, and then setup is going to run them and consume them as a setup file. Everything else can be pretty much left as standard. Remember, change it to whether a user is logged in or not, because we want to run it from a task sequence. And then remember to tick allow this program to install from the install software task sequence task. You need those to be ticked to allow this package to be used. So we've got this copy. So what we can do here is we can link the two together. We can say run the copy setup files first and then run this, right? So we can link the two packages together within the program for running setup. But what I don't want to do that. What I want to do is I want to see the two running individually so that I can make sure that everything works as it should. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add them as individual tasks to a task sequence. But what I could do is link the two together and put one task in the task sequence which does both jobs. So here we have copy setup files and the program to install each of the region-specific setup files. And then I have install office using those setup files. So I have three kind of programs, three programs for copying the files, three programs for running setup. So now I can add these as tasks to my deployment task sequence. So down in the state restore phase, which is where we do stuff to install applications, I can pick a task that's already in there, use a task sequence to add an install software task, give it a name, stage my Office 2000 setup files, put the comments in, and then I can pick the package and program combination that I've just set up. So here I'm going to pick the Office 2010 setup files package. From then I can pick which program I want to run. In this case, the EMEA setup. So that's going to run the application. That's going to run the script to copy down the EMEA setup files, right? And then I can run a second installation task. And then I can choose the other package that I created, which is, in this case is install Office 2010 from Liz. And again, I can pick the program that is going to relate to the files that I've copied down. You see what I've done there? I've got two EMEA-specific tasks. One to stage the setup files in the Liz, and then one to run setup from the Liz. What I could do is put six tasks in here, and then put some logic on the tasks to determine when they fire. If they fire because you're running the task sequence in a specific location or on a specific set of machines, you can logic up and say, only run these tasks under these circumstances. So we're going to run the task sequence now to build this machine. This is a clean machine, so we're going to run the install. You can see the task sequence is going to format the disk. It's then going to lay down my image. Remember what my image has in it? It has that Liz in it. It's going to lay down the image of Windows with all of my customizations, with my local installation source within there. And then it's going to run through the normal setup process. So my image is being applied. Wish it was quick as this all the time. It's obviously not. My image is applied. We're jumping ahead to the point where we're coming out of Windows install. And there you can see we're staging those Office setup files. And then we're running the install command to consume those setup files. Remember what we're doing? Copying down the EMEA config files and then running the setup command with those EMEA config files. And what we should find is once a machine is built and we log in into it, we should find that hopefully, I'd be disappointed in this video if it wasn't installed, right? I know, I've seen this before. So I know the applications have been installed. There's Live Meeting, that got installed because that was in the MSP, right? That was in the MSP files that I generated. We can see that within the local instance, if I go into the options here and I turn on the ability to see hidden files and folders, because the MSO cache by default is hidden and protected, you have to turn that on to see it. But if I go into all users, and then I find that folder where setup was, what should I see in there? I should see my EMEA config and my EMEA MSP file that got copied down and then consumed as setup ran. So everybody okay with that process, what we did? There was a lot in there, right? And this is why I typically talk to customers about linking your image engineering process with how you're going to deploy. The two have to be together. If you are designing an image, you have to know how you're going to deploy that image. You're going to have to know what's in that image. Are you going to put things in the image that you're going to call on later when you deploy it? So that's why it's really important for the team that does the image engineering to marry up with the team that do the image deployment. Because you can then take advantage of mechanisms like this where you put the LIS into the image and then you deploy Office from that LIS when it's been deployed. It takes cooperation, right? Which in some organizations is a lot of hard work, but it takes cooperation across the two. Now, how does Office 365 fit into this? Well, if you look at Office 2010 volume license version, the bits that you get for enterprise agreement, you can deploy Office in all of these different ways. From a network share, I've showed you that already. From an IT managed deployment platform like Configuration Manager or MDT. You can virtualize it and deploy it with AppV. Or you can put it onto terminal services, you put it into remote desktop services and deliver it like a session-based application, right? So all these options are available to you with the volume license version of Office 2010. When you move to Office 365, this is a subscription version of Office, right? It's not a volume license version of Office. Therefore, you cannot deploy in that manner. Because Office moves from being a device-based installation to being a user-based installation for licensing purposes. So you can't deploy it presentation, virtualization, and you can't virtualize it in AppV. But what you can still do is you can still deploy Office as Office, right? Just because you get it from Office 365 and it downloads in this big executable file doesn't mean that the techniques that I've shown you this afternoon can't be used, right? If you want to deploy the professional sub version, the subscription version of Office 2010, all of the techniques I've shown you this afternoon still fit. You have to do a couple of things, though, right? If you want to deploy from a network share, a portal, or an IT managed infrastructure like Configuration Manager or MDT, then you have to do this. You have to go up to the Office 365 site, and you get this download area, right? Have you seen this? If you used Office 365, you should have seen this. From the download area, you can choose the applications that you can, the thick applications to download and install onto your user's device. One of those applications is Office 2010 client. So you pick your language, pick your architecture, and then click on install. But what you don't do here is install it. What you do here is you save it. This will download into my pre-stage folders here, will download quite a large file. Must have been in branch cache, that's why it was so quick. So we got this file, Microsoft Office, if we go to the folder on my drive here, I've got Office 365. In here, I've got this Microsoft Office.exe. It's made that way so that it's easy for the user to install. It's just an executable. The Pro Plus version doesn't ship with the admin, the OCT tool. You don't get it in that version. But what you can do is go to the Microsoft Download Center, do a search for Office 2010 admin templates, download that package, right, for the relevant architecture that you want to work with, and you'll get another executable. In this case, admin template underscore 32 or 60-bit, 64-bit, .exe. Two files I've got now, Office and the admin tools. So what do you think I need to do? I need to glue them together. So if I go first to the admin templates, there it is, and then I've got Office. So I go to a command prompt, and each of these executables has a set of switches. So we're going to the Pro Plus subfolder first, which is the Office source, and we're going to run microsoftoffice.exe/extract, and then a path to where we want the extraction to be. This will run. Nice interface. It's not this quick usually, again. And we get a successfully completed. If we take a look in that folder now, in that Pro Plus folder, we should have an extracted folder. Look familiar? Yeah? That's the Office source, the subscription version of Office 2010. Do the same thing with the admin pack that I downloaded. Run the extraction, /extract, extract it out to an extraction folder. For this one, I have to accept a licensing agreement even as part of the extraction. So I click the box and tick it, extracted. If I take a look inside that folder, extracted, there's the admin kit. Now, these are ADMX files. These are group policy files. But what you want is that admin folder, right? This look familiar? That's the admin folder I showed you earlier. So basically what you do is you take a copy of it, and then you just paste it into the source. And now you have the Professional Plus subscription version of Office 2010 with the admin tools, so you can use the config.xml and the OCT to deploy the subscription version of Office 2010. Right? So don't be worried about the fact that it's subscription. There are still customers that want, they don't want every user to go up to the Office 365 portal, click on the link and download and install it themselves. A lot of customers don't want that. They want to control the installation internally and have it installed and applied to the user's device in a managed way. So that's how you can do that. You can bring the two together and use the same techniques, the same customization files and tools that I've shown you this afternoon to deploy Office subscription-based. Now, the key thing with Office Pro Plus Sub is there are other pieces you have to deploy as well. So you have to deploy the online sign-in assistant tool. You have to, because that's how Office gets activated. Without it, the user won't be able to sign in with their account, and the Office Professional Plus subscription version won't be activated by Office 365. So you have to deploy that tool, and there's a couple of updates that also have to be deployed so that Outlook can work with Office 365. But that's pretty simple, right? You can deploy those as extra applications in your task sequence. It's pretty easy. So, in summary, use both config.xml and the MSP file together, but particularly use the config.xml for your language requirements. That's its key job for language. Deploy Office in one of three ways: completely in the image, as a LIS in the image, or from a package during deployment. Those are your kind of three options for deploying Office. Unless you are going to present it in a different way, you're going to virtualize it, or you're going to put it in a remote desktop session. Use the same techniques for the Pro Plus Sub version, the online Office 365 version of the Office client that you can download as a subscriber. But remember that you have to also install the sign-in assistant, a bunch of updates, and also link. You get the full link client from Office 365 as well. If you want to deploy the full Office client, then you're probably going to want to deploy the full link client as well. So that's fine. That comes down as an MSI. Well, if you're buying Office 365, then you're probably buying Exchange, SharePoint, and Link services in the cloud. The Office Pro Plus Sub client gives you Outlook, so you can get to Exchange. It gives you Word and Excel locally as well, so you can create documents and store them in SharePoint. But without the link client, you can't make use of the link online service. The rest would work, absolutely. So to finish off, there's a couple of related sessions. A couple of them have already passed, so this is for your reference if you're looking back on this later. If you want some additional talky stuff about Office and Windows deployment, come and find me at the ASCII Experts this evening. What I've also done in this deck, if you get it later, is I put a bunch of links in for various office deployment options that are up on TechNet. And the links here will lead you to these based on whether you want Office 2007 or 2010 information. So a lot of the stuff we've talked about, config.xml, MSPs, Liz, deploying from the Liz, it's all covered in these half a dozen links. But grab the deck and you'll find those hyperlinks. There's obviously a bunch of resources available for you tech ed. You've probably seen this slide lots of times, so I don't need to linger on this. But it just leaves me to say thanks very much for joining me this afternoon, spending your time here. I really appreciate it. I know there's a lot of sessions going on, and your time at these kind of events is really valuable. So I really appreciate you coming this afternoon. Please fill in the eval if you get a minute between leaving and drinking. It would be great to hear what you think. And please take the opportunity. I know we did a lot of stuff fast and quickly. Take an opportunity to revisit the session after the event as the recorded session and take a slower look through it, through the stuff we've been through. But hopefully I've given you lots to think about from an office deployment perspective, and thanks very much for spending the time this afternoon. Thank you.